yourselves together. Rise. Stand up and live your life. Never forget this one undeniable fact. Barack Obama is intentionally giving us 4 more years of Donald Trump. Everyone should keep this in the front of their minds. Obama told Bernie to drop out. Turns out Sanders had multiple conversations with Barack Obama ahead of his decision to end the campaign. And Barack Obama is the mouthpiece of the CIA / Clinton world / Biden camp / neoliberalism. For the true progressive, Barack Obama represents what we're running against as much as Donald Trump does. Former President Barack Obama played an active, albeit private, role in the Democratic presidential primary that effectively ended on Wednesday when Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders dropped out of the race. Obama and Sanders spoke multiple times in the last few weeks as the Vermont senator determined the future of his campaign, a source familiar with the conversation tells CNN, Clinton News Network. Sanders' decision to get out on Wednesday paves the way for Joe Biden, who served as Obama's vice president for 8 years, to become the Democratic nominee. Obama's eventual endorsement of Biden and fulsome entry into the campaign, whenever it occurs, will signal a new phase in Democrats' efforts to defeat President Donald Trump. In keeping with tradition, Obama had previously made clear he wouldn't publicly wade into his party's 2020 presidential primary fight, but has promised to support whomever ended up as the nominee. And with Sanders out, the former president backing his one-time running mate is all but a foregone conclusion, something Trump acknowledged at the White House Wednesday. He'll come out. I'm sure he's got to come out at some point, Trump said of Obama, because he certainly doesn't want to see me for 4 more years. We think a little bit differently. Obama's endorsement of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in 2016 was highly choreographed, even though it happened in June, more than a month before Sanders officially backed the eventual Democratic nominee. Although Obama remained relatively mum throughout the primary, only speaking out a handful of times before voters began casting ballots in 2020, the former president was closely monitoring the debate and had regular conversations with candidates before, during, and after their respective bids. His private counsel consistently emphasized staying focused on the ultimate goal, winning the White House in November, the source familiar with Obama's calls tells CNN. And for the big money interest that Obama represents, keeping the White House as opposed to letting Bernie have it. So Obama has been intently focused on denying Bernie the nomination all along. And of course, Obama would rather not have Trump in there, but Obama would even more rather not have Bernie in there. Trump almost makes Obama look good, if that's possible, but there's no way in hell that Bernie would make Obama look good. Obama, the source said, was impressed by the caliber of Democrats who chose to run, who were forced to run, who Hollywood and the CIA and... Fuck you. Obama was impressed by the caliber of Democrats who chose to run, and over 24 did so. But the former president urged them to keep in mind that we must be well positioned to unify as a party once we have a nominee, the source said of the calls. While the content of those conversations remains private, the source said of Obama's calls with Sanders, there was always agreement that winning in the fall was paramount. Clinton declined to comment about Sanders ending his campaign, a spokesman told CNN on Wednesday. The history between the two is fraught, with Clinton and many of her allies feeling that Sanders stayed in the 2016 race long after his path to victory closed, and the former Secretary of State has said that his decision to fight until the California primary in June hurt her in the general election. He hurt me, there's no doubt about it, Clinton told Howard Stern in December 2019, and I hope he doesn't do it again to whoever gets the nomination. Once is enough. In the rare moments where Obama did comment on the 2020 field during the race, he both urged voters to stop worrying about the strength of the candidates and pushed the candidates to remember that the most important win would come in November against President Trump. You're dreaming, buddy. And you don't really fucking care if Trump keeps office. You just needed to beat Bernie. There will be differences, Obama said at a fundraiser in November about the Democratic candidates,
But I want us to make sure that we keep in mind that relative to the ultimate goal, which is to defeat a president and a party that has taken a sharp turn away from a lot of the core traditions and values and institutional commitments that built this country, those differences are relatively minor. The differences between neoliberalism and neo-fascism, the differences between the Republicans and the Democrats, is very minor. At the same fundraiser, he decried purity tests and said, "While arguments about policy are good to have, you got to win the election." So let's talk a little bit about policy. Here's a piece by Caitlin Johnstone. If progressives don't wake up to how awful Obama was, their movement will fail. Could you ask for a more perfect bookend to Obama's blood-soaked neocon abortion of a presidency than his receiving $400,000 to give a speech at a healthcare conference organized by a Wall Street firm? My God, I hate every single thing about every single part of this. Let me type that out again in segments so we can really feel into it. $400,000 for a former president of the United States to give a speech at a healthcare conference organized by a Wall Street firm. Why are Wall Street firms organizing motherfucking healthcare conferences, one might understandably ask? And why are they hiring the man who just completed an 8-year war on progressive healthcare policy and a torrid love affair with Wall Street criminals? These are extremely reasonable questions that might be asked by anyone who is intelligent and emotionally masochistic enough to look straight at this thing. And the answer, of course, is America. That's what America is now. The man who continued and expanded all of Bush's most evil policies, created a failed state in Libya, exponentially expanded the civilian slaughtering U.S. drone program, which Chomsky calls the most extreme terrorist campaign of modern times, to unprecedented levels, facilitated the Orwellian expansion of the U.S. surveillance state while prosecuting more whistleblowers than all previous administrations combined, and used charm and public sympathy to evade the drastic environmental policy changes we'll need to avert climate disaster and lull the progressive movement into a dead sleep for 8 years, now gets paid nearly $500,000 an hour to continue bolstering the exploitative corporatist nightmare he's dedicated his life to. American University has compiled data indicating that the already extremely wealthy Obama family may end up being worth as much as $242 million in their post-White House years, and if Barry keeps whoring himself out like this, he might exceed even that. Here's a tweet by AJ Plus. "Are most of the people we kill with armed drones innocent?" This former U.S. Air Force tech says, yes. Confessions of a drone tech. Anyone who's familiar with my work knows that I harbor markedly less affection for Hillary Clinton than I do for malaria-infected mosquitoes, but I still find it annoying how clued in people on the anti-establishment left are to how horrible she is while still maintaining a degree of sympathy for Obama. There's a general awareness that Obama was far from perfect and did immoral things, but you rarely see the same vitriol and disdain for him as you do for Clinton on the left, which is absurd because they are the same monster. This needs to change before there can be any forward movement on the progressive front. Unless we get crystal clear that these Democratic neocons are unacceptable, they're going to keep finding political influence among our ranks. So Kate was prescient because she wrote this in 2017, and Obama is still fucking things up now. I began this essay by saying that Obama's $400,000 oligarchic shill job was a bookend. I did that because in what was easily the single most important and egregious WikiLeaks email of 2016, we learned that Wall Street was calling the shots in the Obama administration before the Obama administration even existed. Before he was even elected, an executive from Citigroup, the corporate owner of Citibank, gave Obama a list of acceptable choices for who may serve on his cabinet. The list ended up matching Obama's actual cabinet picks, once elected, almost to a T. Feel like doing a little citizen journalism? Here is a link to the aforementioned WikiLeaks document. Go to Attachments and select Cabinet Example to see the cabinet members offered to Obama, and compare the names there to this Wikipedia list of actual cabinet appointments and note the tremendous amount of overlap for his 2009 appointments. Feel like doing a little more citizen journalism? Try and find any mainstream coverage of this email after it came out. Write about your findings somewhere on the internet, and boom, a guerrilla investigative journalist is born. The email was ignored by everyone but the fringe of the fringe, with the most significant coverage coming from Russia Today and the Trump surrogate, The Observer. The anti-establishment right didn't care about it because they were focused on beating Clinton, and the anti-establishment left didn't care because... why? It should, of course, have been a front-page scandal for weeks, but at the very least, progressives should have lifted up a big fat no to it. This was the cabinet that determined the administration's response to the criminals who caused the 2008 financial crisis that had just ravaged the nation, and they were treated with a light finger wag and a kiss goodnight by these Citibank appointees, who then went on to help assemble the exploitative and climate-killing TPP. Samuel Sinyangwe said, "White men made millions for crashing the economy. Obama should get at least $400,000 to speak on how he saved it." April, reign of April. Because, number one, he can. Number two, that's what the market will bear. Number three, you have no business in his pockets. Number four, he's a private citizen. Pick one. I can understand why pro-establishment liberals are defending this man. He stands for everything they stand for. If all you stand for is vapid tribalism and vanity politics, and you are willing to sacrifice integrity along with economic and social justice and the lives of other people's kids in corporatist wars overseas in order to feel like you're on the right team, Obama is your man. But if you're an actual real progressive and not just a latte-sipping NPR listener with a sense of self-righteousness and a pro-choice bumper sticker, you've got no business regarding Obama with anything but disgust. I mean, it's wrong, but I also get it. The sympathy we're tempted to feel for that child-killing corporate crony is one of the very few problems that we actually can blame mostly on Republicans. They spent 8 years hammering the guy, but they couldn't criticize any of his actual evil policies because they were all policies that Republicans support too, from warmongering to bolstering the Walmart economy. So they had to make up the most ridiculous bullshit we'd ever heard, which you couldn't just stand around listening to without screaming and disputing. They couldn't attack his Orwellian surveillance programs, so they said he's a Muslim. They couldn't attack his Eat the Poor neoliberalism, so they said he's a Kenyan. They couldn't attack the unforgivable bloodbaths he was inflicting on other countries, so they said he's a socialist. Ha! Remember that one? So by attacking these moronic right-wing narratives, we often wound up tacitly taking his side, which fostered sympathy. That sympathy is what needs to go. Anyone who's ever escaped from an abusive relationship knows that sympathy is the very first thing that you need to get rid of in order to be free, because sympathy is how a manipulator sucks you in. When you're dealing with a government that in 2013 gave itself the legal right to use media psyops on its own citizens, you can't afford to have any stray strands of sympathy lying around out there. The war we're fighting against the oligarchy is first and foremost a media war, and we may be certain that any sympathies progressives maintain toward their establishment oppressors will be exploited. By letting ourselves really see Obama for the vicious, ecocidal, warmongering corporatist that he is, and letting the resulting disgust wash through us, we are inoculating ourselves against sympathy for him and everyone like him. That disgust will serve as a kind of psychological gag reflex that rescues us from swallowing any more of their bullshit. Benjamin Dixon, we're still talking about this speech? Robert, Obama's next speech will be to Citibank. He plans on thanking them for the best administration money can buy. What do you say about that, Benjamin Dixon? Yes, we're still talking about this fucking speech. Obama is not the poor widow victim here. The American public is. Remember that not even a year after the taxpayer took the brunt of the damage from the bank's idiotic gamble on subprime loans, he was out there inspiring rallies of people with his talk of hope and change. But at the exact same time as he was promising the American people that he would take Wall Street to task, in private he was allowing Citigroup to handpick his cabinet. Just let that sink in for a minute. He was out there galvanizing and re-energizing the whole progressive movement, commanding giant rallies of people with his inspiring words and heartfelt promises, but at the very same time, he was emailing Wall Street to get their list for his cabinet appointments. Remember, this email wasn't after he'd won. He'd engaged in this transaction while he was still campaigning, still sucking up every bit of hope America had for reversing the ravages of neoliberalism. He was lying. That does not deserve sympathy. He knew what he was doing, and he wasn't forced into it by any obstructionist Congress. The stage was already set. One could easily make the case that he not only killed off hope for change, but that he meant to, that the whole thing was deliberate from the start, and that he meant to magnetize any hope left in the bruised and abused population and suck it into the vortex forever, leaving everyone despondent and without hope. But one thing's for sure, he certainly never intended to give America the changes he was promising. Ever. The Citigroup email proves that beyond a doubt. And now he's out there raking in the cash. So I do not weep for Obama, and neither should you. And then I told them whistleblowers should be thanked and protected. Ha 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 ha. A friend of mine who has a background in Alcoholics Anonymous once shared with me her view that the majority of 12-steppers are actually pre-step one, that most of them really haven't grokked into how powerless they are over their addiction in any meaningful way. Well, I see rejecting Obama as step one of fighting the progressive revolution, and I think it might be possible that a majority of progressives haven't fully done that yet. Some of my readers will have already worked their way down this rabbit hole and processed what needs to be processed, while many others will find it a bit confronting, but I think everyone can benefit from a little more Obama hate. We must never go back there. We must unequivocally reject anyone who would take us back there. We don't get to keep him. We don't get to keep the first black president. We don't get to let that be ours. We have to reject it in the same way we'd have to reject the first female president had Hillary won. Any pride in him, any benefit of the doubt because of his place in history, is an obstacle to judging his true behavior for what it is, as it is. I do sincerely hope that there can one day be presidents who transcend racial barriers and shatter glass ceilings and also do their best to advance a pro-human agenda. But Barack Obama was no such president. He's not ours. Kick him out. Never forget this one undeniable fact. Barack Obama is intentionally giving us 4 more years of Donald Trump. Everyone should keep this in the front of their minds